Here's a blessed time that's coming soon. Maybe even morning or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King wake up. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King wake up. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King wake up.
Ready should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? The home is for the few, the vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Coming in power, we'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes.
Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King.
Sing that chorus again.
No, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power. We'll hail the blessed hour. Oh, we shall see the King when he comes.
We shall see the King.
Oh, we shall see the King when he comes.
Praise God.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It's good to see y'all. It's great to be here in the warm amongst God's love and the fellowship of his people. Never gets old. I'd like to welcome you all again. And we're going to start off the service with a little bit of scripture. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. We're reading in Isaiah at home in our devotionals. And there's a little bit in Isaiah 61, verse 10 that I... Just one verse this time. It just keeps getting shorter. Verse 10, Isaiah 61, 10 is where I'm going to be reading from if you want to follow along. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's great to be here tonight to greatly rejoice with you. I'd like you all to bow your heads in prayer right now, and we'll just go to God. Father God, I thank you for giving us this Christian family. And Lord, the faces sometimes change. Life goes on in this world, and we get new faces here. Sometimes we have to release one of the people that have been near and dear to us for a long time into your arms, Lord. And tonight we remember Joe McDonald. And just, he's gone now, but for so many years he was that face at the doorway of Cowboy Church. And we thank you, Lord, for the many years that we had Joe McDonald as a brother in our midst. And we thank you, Lord, that he's now home with you, Lord, strong and healthy and happy. And we thank you, God, that Joe McDonald is home with the Savior that he loved so much. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here tonight. that we can come to worship you. We can come to lift your name up, Lord, to fellowship one with another, Lord, to hear your word preached. And I thank you, Lord, that we have Pastor Ken Stumpf here to preach your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint him tonight in a special way, Lord, that his words would change each and every person here, Lord, that we would all be brought closer to you, that we would all be better prepared to be your witnesses in a dark and hurting world. We thank you, God, for your blessings. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the garments of salvation, for that robe of righteousness that you have covered us with. We pray all these things, Lord, for your glory, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So we've been doing a series on who is the Holy Spirit. As I said before, we hear a lot of teaching and preaching on who God is, our loving Heavenly Father. We hear a lot about who Jesus is. But then we kind of tag the Holy Spirit on the end. We say we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then really, who is he? He's a person. Like, Annette and I, we've been married 53 years. Not bragging, she's put up with me. Praise God for that. But if you were to ask Annette about me, she would say how wonderful a person I am. She would say I'm compassionate and loving and long-suffering. Why are you guys all laughing? I'm serious. I'll hear about this later. She doesn't like it when I put her into the message. But we have a relationship. She is a person. I am a person. We have a relationship. So when you come to the Holy Spirit, you are to have a relationship. He is alive and well, because Jesus said, I must go that he will come. So what came? Holy Spirit came. So today we have to recognize, tonight I'm going to look at the words that are applying to the very time we are living in today, this very day. We're going to look at what scriptures have to say about the time that we're living in right now. So we looked at who the Holy Spirit is. Tonight we're going to look at what does the Holy Spirit do? Good question. What does he do? Does he just kind of cruise around like our prime minister? No, I'm just sorry, I didn't mean to say that. It slipped. No, it's not true. He's real. And he is here. He's here right now. When you walked in this place tonight, the Holy Spirit walked in here. When we all leave, there's nothing in here. There's nothing. But when you came in, the church showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up because you're here. That is the Holy Spirit. So tonight you're sitting there thinking, well, he's not going to have us stand up tonight. Oh, yes, I am. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word taken from Joel? Going to start in the Old Testament again, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2, and you all know this one off by heart, but I'm going to read it anyhow. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That I will pour out my spirit on just some. Is that what it says? All. On all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. There's hope for us. You know? For us seniors, there's hope for us. We are going to dream dreams. Our young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, women, you're in there. Men, you're in there. I will pour out my spirit in those days. And Lord, I thank you now for your word. And Lord, I pray for each and every one in this place tonight. Lord, may they experience you in a new way, a fresh way. Lord, there's times in our lives when we can feel really dry. But God, I pray in here tonight, we'll fill our cup up fresh, running with living water. And Lord, that we know that we know that we know that we've met you tonight here in a special way. And now, Lord, we thank you for that, and we give you all the glory in your precious name. I pray, and everyone said, amen, and that's your sign. You can be seated. So the working on the Holy Spirit. You know, as we start here tonight in Joel would look some 800 years ahead in the prophetic. God gave him this word. He would look ahead 800 years to when Jesus came onto this earth. And then Jesus would fulfill this very thing. And Peter will speak about it, and I'm going to refer to Peter in just a moment here. These are the very exact words that Peter would say. Now, how do you think Peter got that message? Did he get an email? Text? Oh, the Holy Spirit. Wow. You think the Holy Spirit can move ahead 800 years? Amazing. Wow. To the very time that we're living in today. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, in that you're going to experience healing, salvation, miracles. But the one thing the Holy Spirit does the best of all, He's going to convict you. He is going to convict you of things in your life that no one else knows about. And He's going to come tapping you on your shoulder and say, excuse me, what's going on here? What's going on here? You know, many times as I get preaching, stories come in my head, so I've got to kind of cipher out which I tell now or later or don't tell at all. Most of them I don't tell at all. But a well-known evangelist traveled the world with a powerful, anointed ministry and healing. And we are to be followed by signs and wonders. Every one of us here, it says, we are to be followed by signs and wonders. Why isn't that happening? Is our faith so weak today that it's not happening? I can't answer that. But I want to be followed by signs and wonders. That God would be glorified in all, that He'd receive all the glory. Well, this man had a great ministry. He traveled the world. And while he's out there ministering, he heard that a very close friend of his back in the United States had passed away very suddenly. And they were very close. And when he got back, he said, here I am having a healing ministry and my closest friend has passed away very suddenly. God, how can this be? I see people healed all over the world and here my best friend dies. And he felt a real bitterness towards God because of this. But then, as I said tonight, young men will see visions. And one night he was woken up, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, this is why your friend passed away. He was serving me. He was on fire for me. But he started a relationship with a woman other than his wife. And the Holy Spirit said, I knew about it. But then he repented and came back to his wife. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit said in his spirit, I knew that he was going to go back to that woman again. And the Lord said, I called him home. A lot of times we do not see what God is doing in behind. We do not know. We do not know what that person is involved in and what they're doing. But God does. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of that, what is going on in your life. He'll in fact even convict you of your complacency, your indifference, your apathy towards the things of God. He will. You know that. You know when you're not where you should be with God. You know that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us. When I don't empty the dishwasher the way I should, my wife convicts me. Come on, work with me. All of a sudden, you all got just like, whoa. Well, lighten up a little bit now with me. I don't want to lose you here. Stay with me. We're not even into the message yet. We're just warming up. So now we're going to flip to Acts 2. Acts 2, 14-18. And I'm just simply going to read again what I just read in Joel. That's the beauty of Scripture. Doesn't matter where you land, it's all going to line up. So here we are. We're going to pick up with Peter. Pick it up in Acts 2, verses 14 to 18. Now, this is when Peter had received the Holy Spirit. You remember Peter who denied Jesus three times? Remember the Peter that Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan"? He rebuked Peter. This is the same Peter after the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. Let's pick it up in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Why is there only 11 at this point? What happened to the 12th? Judas. Yeah. He turned Jesus in for 30 pieces of silver. And at the end of it, Judas couldn't handle it, and he went out and killed himself. So then we got 11. And he said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, "Let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. The third hour of the day is 9 a.m. The first hour under the time at that time would be 6 a.m. in the morning. We are at 9 a.m. in the morning, the third hour. And this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my maidservants I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Now there's coming a time when God will judge this earth. I am amazed how God puts up with us, but we're under the time of grace. Did you know, and as you do know, every day in Edmonton in that hospital, babies are aborted, murdered. Premeditated murder. And Canada is one of the very few places in the world that you can be aborted to full term. Full term. That baby is ripped out the mother's womb and it's a full grown child. The United States has a different policy. They only allow you to go so far. The Bible says in the end days will be as in the days of Noah. It got so bad that only 8 people survived. And then it says it'll be in the days as the days of Lot. What was going on in the days of Lot? Sodomy. Rampant. When some men and boys came to the Lot's house and said, "Send us out the men that came to visit you, we want to have sex with them. That's where we got to. Where are we today? Sobering. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm just saying, what is God saying? I'm saying, how long will God put up with this is what I'm saying. How much longer? But he's putting up with it that just one more would come to him. Just one more. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your grandchild. Just one more. Aren't you glad that he gave us one more day? Just one more day. That one more would come. That's his heart. For God so loved the world that he gave. I want to continue on with Acts. Read the rest of it. Oh, it got quiet in here. Oof. I hope you still all love me when I'm done with you tonight. I just want to preach God's word. What does it say? And I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Remember when we were having the fires from Fort Mac and Jasper? And when you got up in the morning, what the sun looked like? Red. It would set red. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And here it is. Don't miss it. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. You know what? It kind of takes you to a kind of doom and gloom. And then at the end, all of a sudden, wow. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Goes. That's, to me, I don't know about you, but I just get really excited when I hear that. That's where there's hope. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, and may you overflow with hope by the power of who? The Holy Spirit. Wow. Let's take quickly to John 3, verses 1 to 8. What I'm going to talk to you just very briefly is about what the terminology born again means. You know, today when we hear the even selling vehicles, you'll hear it's a born again experience. If you buy a Ford 150, you'll feel like you're born again and you'll have freedom. I said, I only drive Dodges. But you'll hear that terminology, born again, used in many different scenarios, but it came from God's Word. And I'm going to show to you what that really means, being born again. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees. Now this man was very well educated, religious leader, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night. He didn't want the rest of the religious crowd to see him, so he had a secret meeting with Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Like, what kind of terminology is that? So this religious leader who should have known says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Wow. Born of water and the Spirit. So what's that water mean? Sylvia has it right. Baptism. And you're going to say, wow, what's that mean, Pastor Ken? I'm so glad you asked. While you keep your finger in chapter 3 here, we're going to flip with the other finger back to John 1. And I'm going to give you the other part of it. We're going to pick up in John 1, chapter 30. Verse 30, I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, John is speaking this, John the Baptist. You know, the other day was interesting. I was speaking to someone. They said, wow, that was when John the Baptist wrote the book of John. I'm going, say what? John the Baptist did not write the book of John. And this man had attended church for a lot of years. Somehow he had it in his head. John the Baptist wrote the book of John. No, John the Baptist was not the Apostle John. Are you all with me here yet? We're good. Okay. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he is before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Wow. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So when Jesus was an example for us to be baptized, when Jesus went under the water, the word baptized means to immerse. That's what it means. And he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down in a form of a dove, and the words from heaven, God said, this is my Son who I'm well pleased. That is the Holy Spirit. Are you all with me yet? We're good? Don't want to lose any of you. We're going to move on quickly now. I want to quickly go back to John 3 now, pick up on it. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It was interesting. A Sunday school teacher was speaking to the children and trying to teach them about being born again. She was trying to explain to the children about the difference between physical birth and spiritual birth. And trying to draw them into the subject, she asked the children, are you born a Christian? The little boy answered, and there's one little boy in every Sunday school class, said, no, teacher, I was born normal. I wasn't born a Christian. I was born normal. is probably his name was Little Johnny. There's one in every Sunday school class. I was born normal. You know, today the word Christian is tossed around in our society. Many groups call themselves Christians, but their religion does not line up with God's word. There's many times in different settings, I don't even use the word Christian. I say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I know in the early church they called them Christians, Christ-like, followers of Jesus. But today that word has been literally destroyed. They throw us all in one big bundle. It's like going to Shaw and getting a bundle for your cable and all of that stuff. Everything's in the package. But a follower of Jesus Christ has something totally different. The follower of Jesus Christ has the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he takes up residence in your life. That makes it totally different than all the rest. Because there are many that do not recognize Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They just say he was just a great man and a good prophet. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. There is only one way. Verse 7. Jesus said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Wow. Isn't that something? On a windy day, you can go outside and the wind's blowing, and especially today, it was so windy out there, you either use hairspray or wear a hat. I'm not sure. It was just too windy. And say, well, which way? Well, maybe you look at the flag and the flagpole, you can tell. But the wind comes and it goes, and the Holy Spirit will come. But the only time that he will come is if you invite him. We sing that chorus, come, Holy Spirit, come. We need him. We are in a thirsty in dry land. And I pray, and our prayers, as we've been praying, as we work through this series of what does the Holy Spirit do? So what is he doing in your life? This very moment. Are you born again? Do you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt when you lay your head on that pillow tonight, and if you were to die, where you would spend eternity? Do you know? If you're born again and you put your head on that pillow, you have no concerns. Because if you should die tonight, the first person you're going to see is Jesus. Oh. I like that saying, death is the curtain that is pulled back, and then we see Jesus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. I believe each one of us here, we will say we wish we would have served the Lord harder and longer than we did when we see Jesus. But praise God, we're born again. Next week I'm going to continue on the series on this, on what does he do? But then we're going to move into how do we get more of the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but I want more every day. Do you know when you get a hold of a good dessert and you get warm apple pie with ice cream on top, you just want more of it. You know, when we were living in England, I'd never seen anything quite like it. They gave us apple pie and they poured curdled cream on top, wasn't it? Clotted cream. I'm going, what did you just do to this pie? Like, it's bad. This stuff is floating on top of the pie. Annette says, get over it. Still have flashbacks over that stuff. The Holy Spirit. What's he doing in your life? Are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Do you want more? Or are you content where you are at? Maybe you're saying tonight, you know, Pastor, I really find this really all very boring. I need you to stand up right now because I want to lay hands on you. We want more. I want more. In the times that we're living in, we need the Holy Spirit now more than we ever have. To lead us and direct us so we're not caught up in fake news. Because trust me, there's a lot of fake news out there today about who Jesus is. Do you know that you know that you know that you know? That's well with your soul. I was going through, I keep a lot of stuff, but and you have heard this so many times. And yet, I don't know why I was actually going through my mother's Bible this afternoon. And she has stuff in there. We're all listed in there. And then every one of our family members. And so I was reading, and this card just fell out. And it just, at this time, just resonated in my life. And you're very familiar with it. Most of you know it off by heart. It's called Footprints in the Sand. Can you just put up with me for a moment and let me read it? Will you do that for me? And I have the mic, so I'm going to read it anyhow. One night, a man had a dream. We spoke about that tonight. Dreams and visions. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes of his life. And for each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him, the other to the Lord. And when the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there is only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him. And he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During those times of trial and suffering, what you see, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. God loves us. And he wants us to have a closer walk with him. And how does that happen? By the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go that he will come. And he's here taking up residence in your life. So this time I'm going to ask the team to come and do the cowboy blessing. And while they come, I'm just going to pray right now for those of you that are listening to my voice. My loving Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every one here tonight can say that they're born again. That the Holy Spirit, you have come in and taken up residence in their lives. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here tonight would simply say, Lord, I want more of you. I'm not content with where I'm at. Lord, I want more of you. I want a closer walk with you. And Lord, I pray tonight that you will hear our hearts cry. In your precious name I pray, amen. Would you stand, please? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Just inside Easter.